I want to begin by turning to a scripture in Matthew 5 and verse 48. Matthew 5 and verse 48. It says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect." Now, I've heard some explanations of this scripture before that, well, it means almost like a trying to explain why it doesn't really mean what it says. Well, it means mature. Well, it means complete. And because it's a tough scripture when you think about it. But there's no misunderstanding what this scripture is implying. It means exactly what it says, because it says, as your Father in heaven is perfect. It makes the comparison to God, the Father. So it means exactly what it says. Perfect. Now, how many in this room, and please don't raise your hand, would say that you are perfect? How many in this room, you'd speculate about the time you kick the bucket that you're going to be perfect? All right, here's another trick question. How many of you believe that you're going to be perfect when you're resurrected? You know, maybe like a bunch of know-it-alls sitting on thrones and, you know, come to me and ask me a question about the universe, the cellular structures of atoms. Ask me any question you want about God, and I'll answer it. Perfect. Perfect. Now, let's understand what happens at the resurrection. There is something besides dead people coming back to life. There is a, the first resurrection, the resurrection from the dead. But let's take a look at what happens at the resurrection. A lot of people misunderstand this scripture. I don't think in the church, but outside of the church, they think, okay, born again, born of God. But 1 John 3 and verse 9. It says, "Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God." Now, one of the things that occurs at the resurrection is that this, no longer will you have the capacity to sin. And that's a great thing. I mean, that's one of the things that God is looking for, a sinless nature. And that's going to make a big difference in the world for you, for me, to have a no longer, you know, right now, because of that seed, which is the Holy Spirit that has been sown in us, you know, we desire, okay, not to sin. We desire that right now, but sometimes we fail. Sometimes we fall flat on our face. It's a struggle. But when this time comes, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. I met a person one time. I asked him his name. I said, "What's your name?" He said, Ben born again. And sort of corny when you think about it, Ben born again. But, you know, there's a lot of people that think, okay, and I think when people talk about being born again, they're talking about the process of conversion, and that's okay to look at it like that. But you can see the problem if you were to read this scripture like this: whosoever is born again, you know, does not commit sin, for his seed remains in, and he cannot sin. You know, if you actually thought, okay, being born of God right now, that you're not supposed to sin, you can't sin anymore, you'd struggle with this scripture. It's important to understand the timing of the scripture. The timing of the scripture is at the resurrection. Being born of God, born into the family of God, becoming children of God. At that moment, no longer possible to sin. Now, again, will you be perfect at this point when you no longer have a sin nature? Or does the character building process continue? Does perfection continue? Now, I want to tell you why this concerns me. I have a problem. Got many problems, actually. I'll tell you why this concerns me. Have you ever met people in God's church, And I mean, they've gone through all of the qualifications. They've been baptized. They've had hands laid on them. They go to the feast. They show up every year. 20 years they've been in a church. And you sort of look at them and you say, you know, if that person, if that woman's going to be in the first resurrection, I'm not sure I want to be there. You know, if that person's going to be there, I'm not sure I want to spend eternity with that person. In other words, you're able to see a character flaw, okay, in another person. And you think, boy, I'm not sure I want to be there with that person. Now, there's one side, there's a couple ways we can go when we think that. And I don't like to think it, but I do sometimes. I often excuse it as saying, well, they've probably never been converted in the first, they probably don't have the Holy Spirit of God. That's one way you can look at it. You know, it was a dud. God called a dud, you know. And you know, I do believe at the point of baptism, just because you go through the motion, doesn't mean God has to grant you His Spirit. God only knows the heart. And at that moment of there is either conception, spiritual conception, or it's not. But God is the great judge of whether He grants a person His Holy Spirit. But I don't like the idea of excusing it that way. Well, you know, maybe they were never converted to begin with. Now, I want you to consider, you may be close to perfect in a given area right now. Often those areas that we're close to perfect, we don't know them. Sometimes they're natural inclinations. We just do them naturally. We're just, you know, you may have the patience of Job right now, or close to it. You're just good at it. I mean, it's, you may be close to perfect in that area. On the other side of the coin, you may not be able, you may have a character flaw. You may not be able to manage your money or something. All right, one's a character flaw. The other, you're close to perfect. Will being born of God make you a perfect money manager? Will it make you a perfect husband? Will it make you a perfect father when that time comes? You could ask your children, have I been a perfect father? You might be surprised what they'd say. You might be surprised. So there is another option that I want you to consider today concerning these people that you can't imagine spending eternity with. The other option might be the process of perfection continues on after the resurrection. You know, it is sort of arrogant, is it not? You know, when that trump sounds, I'm going to be perfect. I'm not perfect now. And I don't think I'm going to be perfect when I die. Why would you think you're going to be perfect when the resurrection occurs? Where did you get that? What kind of drug are you on? You know, why would you conclude that? Now, concerning these people that sometimes you see with character flaws, boy, if that person's going to be there in the kingdom, I'm not sure. Man, they've got some problems. Seems like they never overcome those problems. Gossip. Always spreading rumors. Always stirring up stuff. Surely that person's not going to be there. Stirring up stuff in the kingdom, you know. Aggravating people, always saying the wrong thing. Always foot in the mouth. Every time you talk, they've got the foot in their mouth. Always saying something. Surely that person's not going to be there. Concerning these people, what do you want from these people? You know, I don't want God to give up on me. And I know God's not through with that person yet. You know, God's not through with me yet. I sort of like that approach. I sort of like that approach at the resurrection, you know. God's not through with me yet. Now consider Job. Consider Job. You know, in Job 1 and verse 1, it says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and ran away from evil, eschewed evil. And God comes along and says, have you considered my servant Job? God instigates the challenge. to Satan. He says, have you considered this man? He's righteous. Man, can only imagine what God might say of me. Have you considered this dud? He'll let you down, I guarantee. You know, I don't even place myself in the same category of a Job. It says he was a perfect and upright man. And God instigates the challenge to Satan. Have you considered this one? So Job was pretty perfect, was he not? Now consider what Job says in Job 14 and verse 14. Here, we got a perfect man here. Close to perfect. Close enough. Job 14 and verse 14. He says this. He says, if a man die, shall he live again? Answer, yes, they go to heaven. No, that's not what Job says. He says, all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Job 14 verse 15. You will call and I will answer thee. You will have a desire to the works of your hands. Job looked at himself as an unfinished work. God's not through with me yet. You will call, I will answer, resurrection, and you will have a desire to the works of your hands. I think this is incredible, because we are concerned about people from time to time, about, you know, and so we come to this statement, be therefore perfect. I'm going to tell you, I'm not there yet. I'm not there yet. I'm not even close. Romans 12 and verse 2 tells us this. Romans 12 and verse 2. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Have you ever considered the possibility that this may go on out into the future? This proving what is that good and acceptable and perfect, that this may go on a little bit longer than your lifetime. That a lifetime may not be enough for you and me to achieve perfection. Now, I think some people would say, well, can't God just give us perfection at the resurrection? I want to explain a little bit toward the end why I think that's not going to happen. Why I don't think that's going to happen. I want you to consider, let me digress a little bit, the perfecting of the automobile. What was the first? Henry Ford made the what model? Model A model? You know, I imagine there were people when that car first came out and they bought it, they probably thought, man, this is perfect. It sure beats horse and buggy. Ronnie bought an old classic car. I think he wished he still had it. It was about a 70 model Mustang. And when he first bought it, he was driving down the road and he was going to pull into the crossover here, and he couldn't stop. You know, he's just used to a new car, and he just hit those brakes, those rotary drum brakes, and it's just not going to stop like a new model vehicle. And he missed the turn, you know, and so he spent this money putting disc brakes all around it. You can put rack and pinion steering on it. You can make those old cars just like a new model car you would drive today. It still looks the same. It has the classic look, but you can upgrade all these things. You can spend a lot of money doing that also. But, you know, which would you say is a more perfect car, a Model A or a new car today? Well, you would ride a new car today and you say, man, this thing is, boy, the improvements they have made on these cars is incredible. There is no comparison. No comparison. And I sometimes think how God, when it comes to things, the perfecting of things, I think God is impressed with that. I really do. That God must be pleased. You know, think of technology. When I bought my first computer, I bought it 25 years ago at Lowe's. Lowe's was selling computers. It was this big, bulky thing. You know, you had to have a cart to load it up. It was hideous, you know. And I think of that iPad that I have today and the technology that it's amazing. Technology. always improving. How can I make this better? How can I make it, maybe with computers, how can I make it smaller? But how can I just make perfect, make it better, 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 better? I think God is impressed with that, you know. My home is 30 years old, and I go into Lowe's, and my appliances never break. Our appliances, the stove, the refrigerator, they're 30 years old. And I'm thinking, when are they going to kick the bucket? I mean, when it's got to break after 30 years. A refrigerator doesn't last 30 years. But mine just keeps working. But anyway, I'll go into Lowe's, and you look at the new appliances, and you think, wow, they have perfected these things.
Yeah, every year you have to
buy a new one. Well, that is one. Yeah. And, you know, the dishwasher. My dishwasher will wake you up. I mean, it sounds like a whirlpool in the house. Well, they've insulated these things, and they're super quiet, and they're smooth running. You know, the heat pump, I had to replace my heat pumps, and I upgraded to, you know, a Train heat pump, which is on up there in quality. But my old heat pump, when it would come on, it would wake you up. It would do this surge. It would go, wow, and you'd think, man, it sounded like aliens are landing on the roof or something. I mean, middle of the night, it would just make this humming noise, and I think it was going through the defrost mode, but it would wake you up. And the improvement of these things. But it's strange, the one thing that we never seem to work on improving as a society is the character of mankind. It's like we don't care about that. I was in a motel room and looking at the motel, the layout, and I thought, they have perfected the motel. And, you know, compared to the 50s, I never rented a motel in the 50s, but it basically had a bed, and a room with a bed, like a prison or something. But the headboard on the bed had plug-ins for the computer. It had these little cool lights that would zip out. It looked like something out of a Star Wars movie. On each reading lights, and it was like the perfect motel room. And you know, you just make it better, make it better. But the character of man, we don't seem to focus on that. I was watching a Stargate movie series, and some type of virus was going to wipe out the world. And they collected the finest, you know, men and women, the doctors, and well, not the lawyers, but you know, the scientists, and they're going to send you through a Stargate to another world because this world's going to die. And this man makes this speech about we chose the finest men out there, and it wasn't but a few men and women going to go through the gate. But I thought, you know, the one thing they always overlook is the character issue. You know, there were no preachers going to the gate, I guarantee you that. But they had all the other intelligent people, and they were going to start this world. But without godly character, you don't have anything. Why would you even start, you know? But they always overlooked. But that's the one thing we never, I think God is pleased with how we desire to make it better. But we overlook humanity and being a better person. We just don't seem to work on that, the character issue. You know, the perfecting of character takes time. I think a lot of time. Be therefore perfect takes time. You know, I sort of think, my opinion here, that a Christian can be more perfect today than they were 2,000 years ago. The reason I say that is because what a Christian faces today, the obstacles, the temptations are more intense. I think that would be true. Therefore, the character that it takes to resist, that comes from the Holy Spirit of God, is greater than it was 2,000 years ago. You know, when Jesus talked about a greater work, maybe the greater work may be the character building process in an absolute ungodly society that we have today. Now, you might say, well, hasn't society always been evil, ungodly? Yes, but there may be something that you're overlooking. Evil, for the last 6,000 years, is also being perfected. Don't overlook this. Don't overlook this. Just like the example of the automobile that I gave you, which would you rather have, the old A model or a new car today? You know, which one is more perfect? What's the new car? But evil is being perfected. It's the time in which we live right now. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 1 says this, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." This is not, don't underestimate the time in which you live. In the last day, this is not like any other time. It says, in the last days, when you've had the perfecting of evil to dominate, infiltrate your society, perilous times are going to come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, tradey, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. You know, what you are faced with today, I think, is a little bit different than what you had a couple thousand years ago, because evil also is being perfected. Now, I wanted to get back to this point. Why would God just not grant us perfection at the resurrection when we're born of God? I think the answer is found in Ezekiel 28 and verse 15. You know the story, but you might want to turn there. Ezekiel 28 and verse 15. Speaking of a being called Lightbringer, Lucifer, Satan. Ezekiel 28 and verse 15 says, "You were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created till iniquity was found in you." Here's a being called Satan. Who created him? God did. Who made him perfect? God did. Now, in other words, you cannot give a person perfection. This is what happens when you give a being perfection. The example of what we find with Lucifer. There are some things that God cannot and will not do, or would never take a chance of doing again. And that is creating perfect character just by speaking the word. Oh, I'm sure God could do it. Be perfect, you know. Well, you know, God could create robots also. But when perfection is given, not earned, bad things happen. When perfection is given, not earned, bad things happen. So, I want to encourage you not to give up on those people that you sometimes speculate about spending eternity with. Not sure I want to be there with them. Not to give up on them. It's easy to say, well, they probably never converted. Probably never received the Spirit of God. It's too easy to do that. It's too easy to say that. It's too easy to slip into that mindset. The bottom line is, God's not finished with me, and He's not finished with you yet. It's a process that I personally believe will continue after the resurrection.